Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation again. We started by looking at Revelation chapter 2. The church at Ephesus, let's remind ourselves of that as we conclude our study with one another. Let me say again how thankful I am for the opportunity to be here and thankful for the time that we've had with each other. It has been really a delight. I appreciate so much the attention that you have given. I hope that the studies have been helpful to you. I have known on and off for a number of years and had a couple of opportunities to speak here at this congregation. And this congregation is one that has always impressed me, and I pray that God will continue to bless all of you as you serve Him. I want to thank the elders for the opportunity to be here, and it's been good to be able to spend a little more time with them. Bill, I've known since we're both from the same congregation over in Mississippi, and Brother Maxson, and it's been good to get to know the other elders. It seems to me you've got a good group of shepherds here, and it's been a delight, as always, to spend time with Jeremy and his family. Bill said the other day that I was partially responsible for Jeremy being here. It's even more than what Bill said. I didn't just tell them to talk to Jeremy. Jeremy was talking to another congregation as he was trying to decide between this congregation and that one. And I really sold you guys. I went to bat for you guys. So I deserve a little more credit than just, you know, I pushed him in this general direction. But every time I'm around Jeremy and I feel like I leave a better person. And I appreciate him. I appreciate what he does. I appreciate his mindset. I appreciate his love for the Lord. I appreciate his love for people. And I know you do too. And he appreciates you guys. He speaks very highly of you as a congregation. So God bless you as you continue to serve. And if you're ever up in the Louisville area, we would love it if you came and visited with us at the Douglas Hills congregation. If you need a place to stay, my wife and I would be more than happy for you to stay with us. Give us a little warning first, but we would love to see you. But thank you very much. It's been a joy and a delight. I'm going to be leaving after services this evening. My mom and dad live over outside of Columbus, Mississippi, and I'm going to run over there for a few days and see them before heading back up to Louisville. So if you'll remember me in your prayers as I travel, I'll remember you in my prayers as you don't travel. So God bless you as you seek to serve Him. Revelation chapter 2. We talked about the church at Ephesus on Sunday morning, how this was a congregation that seemed like it had everything together. Jesus said, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." I mean, those are remarkable things to be said about a congregation. And if that could be said about the Douglas Hills congregation or the Cahaba Heights congregation, I think any of us would be very pleased. And yet there was a problem. "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." And the admonition is given in verse 5. "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." There is a need for every congregation of the Lord's people to be filled with people who are ready to serve Him and ready to devote themselves to Him. Devotion is our subject this evening. The Great Wall of China, it is believed, took 200 years to build. Now, more than likely, it just sort of grew in its expansion. But more than likely, when it was first proposed, they knew that many of them would spend their whole life working on this and they would not see it finished. I mean, I'm not even sure what kind of projects we would have today that would be like that. The Great Pyramid of Giza, it is believed, took 80 years to build. Solomon's Temple took around 20 years to build. These are great works that required people to get in there and get into a task and finish that task. Up in Louisville, they worked on bridges across the river for 3 years. And I've been up in that area for 17 years now. And Jeremy will tell you, it seems like on the Indiana side, they are always perpetually working on the roads. Always. It takes dedication. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you started off the year with resolutions that you may not still be resolved to do? What happens to us? Resolve begins to get weak and we begin to buckle. That's what happened to the church at Ephesus. Somewhere along the way, their resolve to serve the Lord began to weaken. And we know today that church is no longer here. Every congregation of the Lord needs to be filled with people who are resolved to be excellent in their behavior. The way this congregation grows, the way this congregation impacts this community, the way this congregation impacts the families here, is when every member is resolved to be devoted to the Lord. That is the only way we will ever worship the Lord excellently. It is the only way we will ever teach and preach excellently. It's the only way we will pray excellently. It's the only way we will sing excellently, take the Lord's Supper excellently, give excellently. It's the only way we will lead excellently. It's the only way we will follow excellently. The only way we will be excellent is when every Christian is resolved to be excellent in their devotion and their dedication to the Lord. That's why congregations attain a reputation. You don't buy a reputation. It's when everyone works together with each other. And that reputation can fall apart when individual Christians start falling off. You guys have a great reputation. But you need to maintain that reputation. And you can't rest on the laurels of what this congregation has done in the past. Every congregation of the Lord's people must be filled with people who are resolved to be excellent in their dedication. Tonight I want to talk about that. I want to talk about being excellent in our dedication. I want to ask the question to begin with, what does dedication look like? If you were to try to mentally picture what this type of dedication we're talking about tonight, what it looks like, what would it look like? Let me give you a more precise question. Who would it look like? Because we've all known people in our lives who are dedicated Christians, right? So pick someone that you know that you have always admired for their dedication to the Lord. Visualize them right now. There would be a number that I would pick. Hank Couchman would be one. But just visualize that person. And I'm going to give seven characteristics of highly dedicated people. And I want you, as we go through these, to ask yourself if those were seen in the persons you mentally have in your mind right now. Seven characteristics of highly dedicated people. Number one, dedicated people are dedicated to God and they love Him. People who are excellent in their dedication, they think about God. They talk about God. In fact, when they just have conversations, eventually that conversation is going to move around to some kind of spiritual content because God's just part of their life. It's not put on. It's not phony. God is just there. He is moving within their life. They don't go around throwing it in everyone's face all the time, but it just comes up. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, Jesus quotes this in Matthew chapter 22. But Deuteronomy 6 said, "To the children of Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's the type of person who's just really focused around God. And you know when you're around this type of person, the faith that they're going to show. You know that they're just going to be people who are real. They're going to have their ups and downs in life just like everybody else. But they've come to the resolution that God's the only game in town, really. And I think about when I look at this point, I think about John chapter 6, verse 68, where Jesus had been preaching and it was a very difficult lesson and a lot of His disciples began to leave because He was talking about, "You've got to eat My flesh." And a lot of them just, they didn't know what to do and they left. And Jesus looked at Peter and the other disciples. He said, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter said, "We have nowhere else to go. We've come to realize You have the words of eternal life." I've oftentimes, when I read through that text, I think there are times Jesus said things and the apostles were listening and they're looking at each other going, "I don't have a clue what He's talking about. You've got to eat My flesh." But they also knew he was the one with the answers. So they said, we're not going anywhere. That's the type of person who is excellent in their devotion. They love the Lord. Number two, dedicated people are humble. We've talked about humility so much over the last several days, which is really ironic in some ways. Because as we talk about being excellent, we've also emphasized the need to be humble. And that's not the way things work in the world, right? If you're an excellent football player, you know you're excellent and you let everyone else know that you're excellent. But that's not the way it works in God's economy. People who are excellent in their devotion to the Lord are humble people. They know at the end of the day, as the Apostle Paul, they are only saved by grace, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. People who are devoted to the Lord, dedicated to the Lord excellently, are people who have their flaws. And they have to repent on a regular basis just like everybody else. But repent they do. And they come back to God because they know they need Him every day of their life. Number three, dedicated people pray. We talked about that last night, so we won't spend a lot of time on it. But I'll just say, whoever it is that you're imagining right now, who is this icon of dedication that you remember in your life, I will guarantee they prayed, right? They were people who prayed and they reminded the family to pray. They constantly wanted to be in relationship with the Lord. Number four, dedicated people attend services regularly. I was blessed growing up to grow up in a Christian home. We lived about 30 minutes away from where the church assembled. And so back in the 70s and 80s, it wasn't a piece of cake to get to services. I mean, financially things were tough for mom and dad. But I never remember a single time where I heard my parents asking, are we going to go to church services tonight? Never. There were a couple of times, it seemed like in my senior year of high school, in those high school years, our gospel meetings and 6 week exams overlapped one another, which made for really long nights. I will tell you, there were probably about two or three times when my parents let me miss services during a gospel meeting because I had a really big test. But I will tell you, it was only two or three times. And I had to make a strong case that I had to do well on that test. And that was the only night that I would miss. I've joked around that if we weren't in the car on Sunday morning by 9 o'clock to get to services, the car would crank up on its own and drive to the church building, because that's just what they did. People who are dedicated to the Lord are dedicated to making sure they go to services. They well remember Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. People who are dedicated to the Lord know that they need these times, and these times are precious to them. They put a lot of other things second in their life so that they can make sure they assemble with the Lord's people. Number five, dedicated people study the Bible. One of the images I have of my grandmother in her 80s and 90s when I was growing up was her sitting in her recliner with a little lap table and her Bible spread out on it. It is a precious memory. Dedicated people study the Word of God. They may not get to read it every day, but it typifies their life. They look to the Word of God because they understand the Word of God is the power of God. And they understand they need the Word of God within their life. We talked about the other day Psalm 19 verses 7 through 10, where the psalmist said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Those people who are dedicated to God, they love studying God's Word. Because they know that this is the way they will grow. And they love the Lord enough they want to grow. And so that's another reason why they make sure they attend the assemblies. Because it's at the assemblies, at least one of the ways in which we hear the Word of God is when the Word of God's preached at the assembly of God. So it's precious to them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. People who are dedicated to God want to grow. It's important to them. So they study on a regular basis. But look, not only that, people who are dedicated to God do their lessons. Sunday morning and Wednesday night. They come prepared. I know, maybe sometimes they may miss a lesson, but overall, their track record is they come to class ready because they're excited about this. And, if I can go a step farther, they make sure their children have their lessons. I told you the other day, my wife has taught the little kids class a lot. I've talked to a lot of parents over the years. When my wife lets me know, so-and-so's kids aren't doing their lesson. I've had to go talk to them. Oh, well, you know, they're busy. They got soccer this night. We're talking about the Word of God. Right? I mean, very basic question. Is this the most important thing to us or not? Just be honest with ourselves. If it is, we're going to make the time because that's what dedicated people do. Whoever you got in your mind, that's what they did, right? I remember one person I'm thinking of, I saw their lesson book one time. They didn't just fill in a word here. There were notes. And I know this lesson book is not the end and the beginning of our whole journey through the Bible. But it is a time when we get together with one another and we study with one another and try to bring something to it. Dedicated people are people who study God's Word, and they view God's Word as a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. Number six, dedicated people are active. They want to be used by God. They have the attitude, as flawed as they may be, that Isaiah had, and that is, here I am, send me. What needs to be done? They want to do what they can do to help. They want to be useful in the local congregation. So sometimes that may mean that they'll teach. It may mean that they're going to pick up a brother or sister who doesn't have a ride. But the call comes out. It's like yesterday, the call went out for another teacher. And the email went out, and then Jeremy was just reminding everyone last night. And I think it was Ben said, hey, we got the person. You know, good for you. Kudos to the person who stepped up and said, hey, I'll teach. I don't know if you've taught before. You know, maybe you have. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. But dedicated people say, hey, I want to be useful here. Dedicated people are part of the groups. And dedicated people, when they hear that someone's sick, they step in to try to help that person who's in need. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, again, to the church at Ephesus. Jesus said, you need to remember where you have fallen from, and you need to do those first works again. And dedicated people want to make sure they do those first works. James chapter 1 verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We have the attitude of here I am, send me. Number 7, and by the way, we're not at the end of the sermon, so don't get your hopes up. Okay, we're at the end of this point. That's why I'm moving through them quickly. Dedicated people love and they serve others. It's not about just being active, doing things. They're just concerned about people. And this is the trait that you see in the early church from Acts chapter 2. I mean, the church is made up of people who hardly, most of them probably didn't even know each other. And Acts chapter 2 tells us at the end of that chapter, people are selling their possessions. Chapter 3, chapter 4. Barnabas is there and he's selling property left and right to help people. Why? Because dedicated people, they not only love God, they love one another too. So we move through those quickly. My question to you is, that person that you visualized, did I not tick off each one of the characteristics that you admire about that person? Was there anyone that you admired spiritually who did not make it a point to go to the assemblies? Anybody? I will tell. Raise your hand. No one will raise your hand, right? And that's not saying that we're saying those people are horrible, they're going to hell. But the people we admire are the people who are dedicated, right? So if you want to say, well, what does this look like to be dedicated? You've got an image in your mind, right? You've known a Christian over the years that impacted your life. And my point here is, it is possible for us to be dedicated. Why? Because they were. Having said that, though, there are some things that get in the way sometimes. And these are the things we all have to struggle. Now, open your Bible to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We're going to sit here for just a few moments. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. Luke 9, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, him being Jesus Christ, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. He said, let me first go, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. And to another also, he said, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So, several people approached Christ, and each one of these teaches a lesson about the things that take away our sense of dedication. The first one is a desire for things. This guy comes and says to Christ, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus was, he was sort of riding high in the polls at this point. Everybody loved Jesus. And the answer that Jesus gives is a curious one. And you have to ask, why in the world did Jesus tell him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head? The man didn't say anything about that. But Jesus knew the hearts of men, right? And Jesus knew what was in this man's heart. And it seems that this man thought, boy, if I follow Jesus, everything's going to fall into place. And Jesus' response to him is, don't think that if you follow me, everything's going to be a piece of cake. Jesus had to borrow a coin for an illustration. He had to borrow a donkey to go into the city of Jerusalem, and he had to be buried in a borrowed tomb. Jesus said, I don't have a house. I don't even have a bed. I don't even have a pillow. Don't think that if you follow me, everything's going to be rosy. Now, there are some Christians who are really well off, and that's okay. As long as you remember where you got it from and who you are to serve. But we've all known Christians who struggle. A lot of times people start off and they are just ready to serve the Lord. But when things financially don't go the way they want, they begin to turn away. Danger number one. There's another danger, and that's the desire for self. Verse 59 and then verse 61. Jesus turned to another one and said, follow me. Notice what the man said. Lord, let me. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me. You see in the hierarchy of who had priority? Both these guys go, I'll follow you, but there's some things I want to do first. That's not the way it works with God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I'm not pointing a finger at anyone because we all struggle with this, right? If there's ever been a generation and a time in which me and self rules, it is now. It's one of the major terms we use today. Selfies. Right? We love to take pictures of ourselves. We love to talk about ourselves. We love to get on Facebook and give our opinions. opinion. We want everyone to agree with us. We want everything to be about us. And I hope that's not the case here. But I'll tell you at Douglas Hills, and I'll tell you at every congregation, that's a struggle. One of the primary things that will take us out of the kingdom of God, guys, is us. When we want to do what we want to do, God calls us to follow Him, to put Him first. And beloved, unfortunately, there will be a lot of people who find themselves in hell one day because we are too wrapped up in ourselves and we are not dedicated to Him. Number three, verses 59 and 61, you also see a desire for others. Verse 59, let me go and bury my father. It seems like a reasonable request, right? Most commentators seem to agree that the issue is not that his father had died yet. He's just wanting to wait till after his father passes away, and then he's all in. He's putting his parents first. And then in verse 61, you have the guy who just wanted to go back to his house and bid everyone farewell. And you say, that doesn't sound terribly unreasonable either. But Christ said that's not the way it works. The thing that will take us away from the Lord and hurt our dedication, a lot of times, just could be other people. You've got that wife who's a Christian, but her husband, a little marginal. And we've all seen this situation, right? We've seen the wife or the husband, and they're pushing through. They're going to be in services. They're going to be with the saints. And they're faithful. They're going to set the right example. And then, somewhere along the way, they start backing off. They start missing assemblies. They start pulling themselves away from the brethren. And pretty soon, their dedication has disappeared. It goes both ways, husband and wife. Sometimes children become Christians and their parents didn't, and they begin to lose that sense of dedication because they got to make sure they make their parents happy. Or maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or maybe your boss. It can be a lot of different people. The point is, sometimes our desire for other people can begin to impact our sense of dedication. And here's a fourth one. The desire for the past. Again, in verse 61, you find this guy who he wants to look back. He wants to look back at his household, the family there, and he wants to go back to them. He wants to go back to the people that he knew. And look, God blesses us with associations, and that's all right. But sometimes those associations may hold us away from God, and we want to keep going back to them. Or sometimes sin in our past becomes something that begins to pull us back. We start running across some friends that we used to go drinking with, or we used to just do whatever with, and we sort of get pulled back into that world, and before you know it, we're back in it. Why? Because we just kept thinking about, well, you know, those were good days. That was sort of fun back then, and those guys were great, and we began to just sort of move back. We forget about the sin. Remember the Israelites? I mean, they're the case, the textbook study of this. In the book of Exodus, they were slaves, remember? Slaves in chains. And yet, when they were in the wilderness, they're going, oh, it was so much better when we were in Egypt. No, it wasn't, guys. It wasn't better for you then. But that's the way we are. We start thinking nostalgically about how good it was then. And our sense of dedication begins to wane. So, this will be the last point. Start pulling this together. How does a Christian grow in dedication? Okay? Three simple ideas. Really simple ideas. First of all, you and I need to make sure we keep a sense and develop a sense of focus. That was the whole point of Luke chapter 9, right? These guys were not focused. And Christ knew it. They're thinking about stuff. They're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about people. They're thinking about the past. And Jesus is going, this isn't going to work, guys. Seek first the kingdom of God. Between you and the Lord right now. You don't have to say anything to anyone else here. Between you and the Lord, are you seeking God first in your life? Those sort of questions make us uncomfortable. probably if we're honest, we would all say that it sort of fluctuates sometimes. Sometimes we're really trying to, and sometimes we move back. We're all human. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone, but that's a question you and I need to think about a lot. Are we really focused on God? Do you really think about God? Are you wanting more than anything else to go to heaven? And for those of us who have children, are you wanting more than anything else for your children to go to heaven? Or is your driving concern what kind of scholarship they're going to get in a good college? Oh, and I want them to be a Christian too. What kind of career they're going to have one day? Oh, and I want them to be a Christian too. Guys, we're killing ourselves. We are getting it all wrong. It's nice if your kid has a great college degree. It's nice if they have a good job. But not if they lose their soul. It will be okay if they collect garbage off the streets to keep the streets of Birmingham clean and they still go to heaven. Really, that's going to be okay. We got to be focused. I see more and more marital problems going on within the Lord's people because we're not focused on what we need to be focused on. And I see more and more Christians struggling through difficult times, and those times are real because they're not focused on God. You want to be dedicated? You want to be like that role model you had in your mind a while ago? You got to put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 22, verse 37 again, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Here's the second thing we need to do. We need to develop a sense of duty. Now, if you were here last night and you were perceptive, you may say, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Last night, you said that the greatest motivation for prayer was not duty. Well, what I said was, it's not just about duty. But there is some duty in there. Because all of us start off as Christians sort of at the ground level. And sometimes we have to be commanded and told what we need to do. And sometimes we need to be told, hey, this is your duty. You may not want to do this. You may not be thinking about this. You have a duty now. We sort of lost the noble concept of duty. Everything today is about what I want to do. That's great if you can do what you want to do. Sometimes you and I need to do what we have to do. You want to be a dedicated person, you need to remind yourself that you have a duty, first and foremost to God, a duty. But you also have a duty to one another. For those of you who are members of this congregation, when you place membership here, you are assigning a duty to yourself and you're going, I'm going to do certain things because they're the right things to do. And sometimes I may not feel like it, but I'm going to be here. And I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do. And here's the great news. The more you press through that duty, eventually it's not so much a duty. And then it becomes something that you want to do. But there'll be a period of time in which it will be your duty. But you do it because it's necessary. Open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. Flip back in the Old Testament. Nehemiah. Great text in Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah goes back to Israel and to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, right? He's got to rally all the people. And what you see beginning in verse 1 is everyone stepping up to the plate to work on their section of the wall because it was their duty. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it. Then as far as the Tower of Hanel. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. And what you find is just one right after another. All these people were working with each other because they all had a duty. And they knew that as they fulfilled their duty, they made the whole stronger. And that's what drove them. But what's also interesting is verse 5. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs. But listen to this. But their nobles did not put their shoulder to the work of their Lord. They weren't interested in working. Maybe they were too good. Maybe they just didn't know their neighbors that well, and this really wasn't their thing, and they kept back. You know what had to happen, though? If they didn't do their work, someone else had to. Someone else had to work a little hard because they weren't dedicated. You want to be a dedicated person? Do your duty. Don't be the person that sits back and lets everyone else do what they should be doing. Do your duty. Last one. Develop a vision. Have you ever seen concept drawings? Okay, here's one. Okay, they all for some reason look the same. But you know, they're just, it's this drawing that when a building's going to be built, an artist draws what that building is going to look like. Why? Because the people who are building the building and the people who are paying for the building and the people who are working with the company, they need to have an idea of what's this going to be like, right? And so there are those days where they're parking in the parking lot with all the potholes now, and they've got to go by all the barricades, and it's raining, and they're wet, and they're grumbling because they have to walk in the rain. But then they walk by that concept drawing, they go, oh, okay. This is why we're going through this. This is where we're going to be. And their spirits pick up a little bit, right? And everybody's nicer to one another, maybe. I don't know. But that's what that vision is for. The Hebrew writer tells us this, Hebrews chapter 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. That's the sense of vision. Abraham and all these great patriarchs, they had a vision of what heaven was going to be like. And in those difficult days, that's what broke them. What's your vision? Let's start small. What's your vision for your life? If you're a Christian, well, let's just go even lower than that. What if you're not a Christian? You want to be a Christian one day? You want to go to heaven one day? What's that going to look like? What are you going to do? For those of you who are Christians, you want to be a strong Christian? You want to be like that model that you thought of earlier? Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. That was always, they were just always great people, salt of the earth, good people. Do you have a goal to be like them? For those of you who are married, you want to think about that golden anniversary couple that they've just been together. You want to say, I want my wife and I to be like that. For those of you with kids, can you see you and your children in heaven one day? What are you going to do to get there? For those of you who are men of this congregation, you have a vision of being an elder one day. Well, I'm not sure if that's really what I need to be doing. Maybe it's not, but someone's got to do it. Some men have to rise up and say, I think I may want to do that one day. Not because I'm this fantastic person and I'm this spiritual icon, but because I love the Lord and I want to serve Him, and that's the type of person I want to be. It's all about a vision. It's all about seeing that reality of heaven and having that before you all the time. It is about living your life with a sense of focus, with a sense of duty, and a sense of vision so that God may be glorified in your life. That is the only way, at the end of the day, beloved, you and I will ever really be dedicated. I want to read to you as we close a poem that I found several years ago called The Flame of God. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from the winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher. From silken self, O captain, flee, thy soldier who would follow thee. From subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way with the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. That is excellence. And that is the way every Christian can be used by God. Not the best, but your best. And that's what God desires to do with you. But you and I have to choose. And I hope you've made the right choice. I haven't seen anything to tell me otherwise. But I also don't know your hearts and you don't know mine. Before God, we must pray to Him that we may be used in full dedication. So that this congregation may be filled with people who let their light shine in this community. And so that all these little ones growing up will grow up with you in mind. When some old bald guy stands before them in 30 or 40 years and says, you know, who's the dedicated person you would think of? They may think of you and say, that's the type of Christian I want to be like. Why wouldn't they? Why shouldn't they? They can. Let's bow our heads. Father, for those times in which we do long for softer things and gentleness within our lives, we pray that we will think about your Son and what He went through. We pray that we will understand that we must be with you 110% within our life. And yet it is a constant struggle for us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for understanding the problems that we go through. Thank you for knowing that you give your grace to us when we do falter sometime. But help us to have hearts that long to be dedicated to you. Help us to reevaluate our lives as we need to so that we strive to put you first. Dear Father, we long to be the fuel for your fire. We long to let our light shine so that people will see our good works and glorify you. Lift this up, this congregation. Lift up every Christian here. Lift up every congregation of your people everywhere. May our children see what it means to be dedicated. And may they strive and long to be dedicated as well. May in everything that we do, may we adopt a desire to be excellent. Because you are our most excellent God. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.